also love my sleep.
When Julie goes to bed, if we say stuff about her going to bed too much, he thinks it's his turn. So, like, she'll stand up and he'll run right over to his treats. Like, I'm ready. It's time. If I don't put him to bed and he's ready, he'll jump up in my face and just bat at me. Come on. It's time. Let's go.
Hey, butthole. Let's yeah. do this.
All right, we ready?
Mm-hmm.
I was born ready.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Melina.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers.
Finally. It's
been goddamn forever.
For the 2015 season.
Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
All at the same time. Thank God they're all over. Christmahana Kwanzaa?
Something like that. We had everything in there.
I got another year before they come back.
This is the first year in like a billion years that we've missed Thanksgiving recording. That depressed me.
Ernie. Unfortunately, all of us were scattered in 20 different directions.
Yeah, it was a crazy couple months. But so I think like one of the last things we talked about was Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
You weren't here for that.
I know.
No, it was Interstellar.
Yeah. It was good.
It was goddamn good.
It was real good.
I think it's better than Shawshank Redemption, but I don't think it's as good as Watchmen.
Well, being it was the only one of the very few movies that was original and not based on a sequel of something, that counts for a lot.
Wait, what?
For this year.
Yes, for the 2014.
Hmm.
Mandela wasn't based on a sequel of something, unless you're counting the man's life.
It was adapted
original.
From his life. It's
adapted.
When does the list for Oscars come out?
In my Shortly. Heart, Idris Elba's already on there.
The Golden Globes are already out. So
The Globes have been a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the
nominations.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they were the show like, this Sunday. Week.
Is Interstellar nominated?
I do not know. We'd have to look at the website there. I know in this movie we're going to be reviewing, it has already gleaned several nominations.
I'm sure.
That's not a surprise. Mm. Adapted screenplay is probably going to be, I can't imagine anything else.
I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember the movies that came out in 2014. Other than Gone Girl and Interstellar. Yeah.
There's a few others that are getting buzz because they're the kind of movies that will get Oscar buzz. Like Grand Budapest Hotel.
Damn it. I wanted to see that.
It's on like
it's on HBO. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's HBO. On HBO. I watched like 45 minutes of it, and it's one of those really quirky movies.
Oh, like that one with the Boy Scouts?
Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah.
That's Maybe.
That's a good movie.
Paul Thomas Anderson?
Yeah. I think Paul Thomas Anderson did Moonrise
Probably.
Kingdom.
Probably.
Yeah, I just made that
it's,
up.
It's very... It's.
I'll verify it, guys. Settle down.
I don't have my phone.
Yeah, just for the audience knowledge here, from the Golden Globes, Gone Girl has snagged David Fincher as Best Director, Rosamund Pike as Best Actress, and Gillian Flynn as Best Screenplay, and Best Score is Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Which is a pretty good.
Wes Anderson did Moonrise Kingdom.
That's a pretty good lineup.
Maybe this is
right
Wes
there.
Anderson too. I don't know.
No, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Was it? I don't know.
Let me look it up.
One of those guys is really cool and quirky. The other one's just like, what Douche. The fuck? Yeah, I don't remember which one's which.
Well, F. Murray Abraham died.
What?
Wes Anderson. So he did both.
Yeah. So yeah, if you like that, it's very much like that. Yeah.
I did like that, and it's got Voldemort in it.
Yep.
A plus for Voldemort. Would kill Cedric Diggory again.
So, Gone Girl.
Rosamund Pike deserves Best Actress, and she should win it. That's my prediction.
I don't know who else will be nominated, but I have a hard time arguing with that, with anything I've seen.
Hopefully not Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway will get Best Supporting.
Wouldn't she be Best Actress?
For what?
Interstellar. I mean, she was the female lead.
She won't get it.
No.
Not for Interstellar. Interstellar's not...
Doesn't have a female lead. I guess it's
arguably
kind
my
of
daughter.
Split between Anne Hathaway and daughter.
It's going to be Best Supporting either way.
It would be Supporting either. I think they'll both be Supporting.
Yeah.
Because if they're nominated.
What about Zoe Saldana from
I, like, delayed on seeing Interstellar for weeks and weeks and weeks because, A, I hate Anne Hathaway, and, B, I just was kind of, I'm not, you know, I Gravity didn't do much for me. And
oh,
I
Gravity just, was terrible.
I'm not really into space stuff as much as some people.
You know that last scene in Gravity where, like, the camera pans up Sandra Bullock and then you see, like, space above her, mm-hmm. but she's still standing on Earth, and you're like, this is like a, it feels like a triumphant scene. Like 95% of Interstellar is that feeling. Like that one 30-second clip from Gravity.
It was a Interstellar earned it so much more.
Oh, God, yeah. It did. So good. Michael Caine, best supporting actor, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Interstellar, the only problem I had with Interstellar was the fact that through the first half of it, I was pissed off.
Why?
At the movie?
At the story.
Why?
Because they were setting me up for something that was going to be based on fantasy. With the way they were telling the story, with the way
the ghost
was doing things, and that pissed me off because that's not the story I wanted to see. I did not want to see a story about a ghost.
But they immediately circumvent that.
That's and so he's like
just make your observations and then present your findings.
When he was in the bed with her, like when he's like, parents have to become the ghosts of their children. About. No, but here's what I'm going to say. Like, as soon as he said that, like, and even before that, it's like, it's obviously not a ghost. We're watching a space movie. This is obviously either future him or, I mean, like, I knew immediately that was future.
It's not obvious though, because the mom was dead and with having a dead mom in there, it's not always that way. And Nolan likes to play with how you perceive the universe.
He likes his double entendres.
Yeah.
I liked it because it validated...
Your parents just end up being your ghosts.
It validated my ghost hunting.
That means two things.
Not at all.
I am...
And for me, that was why I loved the end, because it was like, it said all that stuff was bullshit.
No, it validates it because if she... It validates it because if she hadn't been curious and wondering, the loop would have never completed. Like, she had to have been interested in what was going on in that room to figure all those things out for all the events to play out. So,
except being time travel, it's all predestined.
We'll see that. There's where you get into.
Nothing that she does with the information he gives her sends him to that point.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
He gives her the coordinates too.
No, he gives himself the coordinates. Nothing he gives her is in the loop.
She
saves humanity with that information.
But the future humans. But the future humans know all of that in retrospect, so they set up the thing that will save them to make them exist, so that they can know that it happened.
Arguably, you could say that the colony from Anne Hathaway was those people, and that they didn't actually need Earth to survive at all. If you want to get down to it.
Well, we don't know that. Who the advanced...
I mean, obviously we don't know that.
Yeah.
It could be the ones that are on the O'Neill colonies out to interstellar space, or it's the ones that were established on the world.
Well, I'm just saying that he himself is a closed loop, but she is immaterial to that loop.
He's the conduit by which they're all acting. We don't. It's left to the viewer to determine which one it is.
I believe TARS is the conduit through which all of the story.
TARS awesome.
Is so good.
By the way, the entire movie, I was like, I am waiting for the inevitable betrayal of these robots, constantly, and then there was no inevitable betrayal.
Yeah,
of the
there
robot.
Was.
Bullshit.
He nope. sends. He's gonna send the TARS into the black hole, like just not Nothing. Knowing whether.
No,
it's
he
gonna...
sent. He didn't send TARS. He sent Kip.
No, he sent TARS.
He sent TARS.
Oh, TARS. Okay. Yeah.
Without knowing what it would do to him, and then they have Anne Hathaway like, you can't do that. You can't just, you know, she's trying to
yeah,
make
you,
it all human.
You can't ask him to do that.
You can't ask him to do that.
You don't have to ask.
I felt betrayed.
But there was no betrayal of the robot. The robot was not the one that did the betraying.
That was a trope.
Oh, you were
waiting
for TARS to betray
them?
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, they're like, oh, this is a wonky military robot. Oh, where's this going to go?
Well, I kind of figured it wouldn't go there just when he's joking about it.
Yeah.
Like, he's pulling 2001 references to joke about it. And that was like, that's solid.
Not only that, TARS is named for TARS Tarkus from Edward S. Burroughs.
TARS Tarkus.
Mm. Yes.
TARS Tarkus.
You know they're making another one.
I saw. No, they're not making another one. Burroughs Estate bought back the rights to the movie from Disney.
So just
and they
were so
shopping
it
around.
Yeah.
God damn, John Carter was so good.
They're doing it for you, the one viewer.
You know what's
that,
really
like,
frustrating?
The movie.
No, there's a. I know a lot of people that.
I liked it.
John Carter's a good movie,
it's
but
a really
it,
good
it was.
Movie.
Everyone I know hates it. I didn't mind it.
It's as close most people to the I know, story as it could get.
Know that say that John Carter was good, but it was the marketing was terrible.
It was.
Yes.
The marketing was dumb. And they didn't use Mars in the title. You know why? Because Disney made a movie Mars Needs Moms. And the movie tanked so bad. They're like, we can't put Mars in a title. That's the reason it failed.
I haven't even read the second book yet.
We own two movies on iTunes, and one of them is John Carter.
I want to be able to play John Carter at a moment's notice.
I own a couple movies on Google Play, mostly because every so often Google Play will give me free movies. And also I bought The Interview.
Oh, did you watch it yet?
Yeah.
Is that going to be on one of the...
I don't see why not. It could, but it's a comedy. Comedies are... I mean, we could probably spend 5 minutes at the beginning of an episode talking about it.
I don't actually want to see it.
I put it on our wish list.
You don't want to strike a blow for freedom?
If
by giving Sony money,
you know what? If
no.
you like, if you like dick jokes,
I think
you'd like it. I really do think you'd like it. And there is an epic Katy Perry sequence in it.
I liked This Is the End, but I'm getting really tired of Seth Rogen Franco pair.
Rodeo.
Yeah. I'm done.
Seth Rogen.
Those two aren't even the best part of the movie. The best part of the movie is Randall Park, the guy that plays Kim Jong-un. He is brilliant. He is really good.
Is it better than Margaret Cho's portrayal on 30 Rock?
Yes.
Ooh, bold words.
Yep.
Tony, Interstellar made me a genius on Saturday.
How?
We're going to relive some of my greatest moments. On the way home, Melina's like, I feel drained from that movie. And I was like, what? She's like, emotionally. I'm like, oh, like it was an emotional vampire? She's like, yeah. So would you call it a pellicula? Pellicula is the Spanish word for movie. But it also sounds like Dracula. Pellicula? Boom! Boom! When we got home, I was like, dude, I gotta use this while I'm stuck.
Adam's been happy about this for days.
You've jerked off to that memory multiple times.
Like it's on there. I got a trophy wall.
He's like, there. He said something. I thought that was better the other day, but then he's like, it wasn't as good as Pellicula.
Well, it's
nothing
not the...
will ever live up to Pellicula.
She's like, well, I have to watch something to calm down before I go to sleep.
Oh, he said. I said that we were. I said Katie's not gonna be staying with Bob and Jen at Gen Con, and so you said, oh. Well, we'll have to bump her into the rooming arrangements. We'll have to bump her into Gen Pop.
Yeah.
What?
Gen Pop.
Oh. Yeah, that wasn't as good. Like I said. She's like, I'm too amped up from the movie. I can't go sleep. We gotta, like, watch TV or something for me to come down. From the Matthew McConaughey. Boom! God damn it, I was on fire! Then I wasted it and went to bed.
There could have been so many more.
Spoiled opportunities.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Gone Girl.
I guess.
I really needed to see it again.
Don't you remember?
Daryl, what do you think?
I went into this movie with zero expectations of it. I was really weirded out by it. And I said, this is a David Fincher movie. It's got all the fingerprints all over it. I'll never be able to listen to ambient music again.
Adam, what you think?
I loved it. I hate Ben Affleck, but I love NPH's dick. It was cameo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Rosamund Pike, best actress.
I'll allow you to be wrong about Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, no nomination. No. Best supporting actor.
No.
He didn't get a Golden Globe.
No, he did not.
I mean, good. Nomination.
No.
Good.
No, I don't think he deserves it for that performance.
No. What is cheesy douchebag? Dumb cheesy douchebag.
I don't know. Her performance.
So good.
She was the Heath Ledger of Gone Girl.
Yeah, only she's not dead. So we can actually give her an award on merit.
Oh, well, she's not going to get it then.
Tony, what's wrong with you?
Well, what I'm saying is that Heath Ledger didn't deserve the Oscar that he got posthumously.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I agree.
Melina, what'd you think?
I had not read the book, and I had no idea what it was about, and had no spoilers before seeing it, other than Jen Steen had tweeted a tweet specifically to me, which was her review of the movie, which said, at Lena Baff, Gone Girl is fucked up. You will love it. So I was like, okay. And she was right. It's totally crazy, this is going to be explicit now.
Oh, yeah.
This is,
well,
it was,
they, all, they always are.
Totally fucked up movie. Like, I was literally, like, the only one in the audience, like, laughing all the way through it because I loved it so much. Like, it filled me with glee. Wasn't I laughing?
Laughing is weird.
It was so amazing.
Like, all the scenes where she's watching TV and they show scenes of Ben Affleck, like,
when she looks up with the pudding, and I'm like, yes.
She spits in that chick's water or, like, tea or whatever.
So perfect.
So, all I knew about this story going into it was Julie read the book and did not like the book. Julie saw the movie, and the same problem she had with the book was the same problem she had with the movie. And knowing in very general terms what the movie was about, we'll do spoiler-free, because I think this one kind of deserves...
I already spoiled in Peach's dick.
Well,
it's there.
It's there.
It's a fact. It happened. It's an event. Quantifiable.
I don't think that's spoiler. I think that builds anticipation. I don't think that's spoiling anything, knowing it's coming. I think then you're just looking for it even harder every time he's on the scene.
I was already doing that.
But the reason I assumed that she had a problem with it was not the problem she had with it. And I didn't realize that until the end of the movie. And then when I saw the end of the movie, I realized what the problem she had with it was. But I'll talk about that later.
Was it when Rosamund Pike, Lee Adama did it?
Yeah.
In the middle. Yeah.
She got... soft.
She did get soft.
all right, so we've kind of talked a little bit about acting all around.
I mean, there are only three people of note in the movie. Oh, no, his sister.
I'd say there's like five, actually.
The detective.
The detective is good.
She's in Deadwood.
She was also in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Kim Dickens.
Don't you Kim Dickens me.
Rosamund Pike, like, I don't know what else. The only thing I know her from was that game movie. Is it Doom? There's a movie that they filmed in first person, like with
Doom.
The gun.
Doom.
Doom would
she was
be
in
that
something
movie.
Else.
So, yeah, they filmed the movie as a first person.
Yeah,
shooter.
So she was.
It wasn't.
That's what I remember.
I didn't see that movie. So
spare yourself.
She's got like this look where. I don't know.
She has bitch face.
And that's not bitch face, though. She has, like, this look where you can look at her eyes. It's like dead eye face. Like, you can't tell what's going on behind her eyes. Like
Jack Reacher?
She had to have a very
specific... I haven't seen that one yet.
Die Another Day? The World's End?
No.
Wrath of the Titans?
Seeing a pattern here.
Surrogates?
No.
What?
I don't remember that.
With Bruce Willis?
Vaguely. So she's been in a slew of really crappy movies. And then she gets a lead role and
A lead role with a top flight director, a killer storyline, and
what else has the director done that you said it was so classic?
What hasn't he done? He did The Social Network, he did the Girls, Dragon Tattoo, the American version. Mm-hmm. I was looking at his filmography, what hasn't he done? I mean,
which
Fight Club?
Again,
Fight Club. There we go.
Again, I will say is the lesser of the versions of Girl with a Gold or Dragon Tattoo.
True, but he did Alien. Well, he did again Seven, The Game, Fight Club. Fight of course, Club. We Total Carry, Panic Room, The Hire, Lords of Dogtown.
I'd say of any of those that I
Zodiac,
Alien 3,
Benjamin Button.
It's as fucked up as Fight Club, if not more.
Oh, more. But way more.
So I just have to, like, interject this. So I didn't know this, and this might be one of those things that, like, everybody knows.
Yeah,
and I'm just coming
prepare
in on,
yourself.
Like, 10 years late. But I think this is the 10th anniversary of Fight Club, right?
I will
15th.
Ridicule you soon.
So I know about how they splice in the picture of the dick at the end, right?
They do it a couple times.
Well, the dick is only spliced in once, but the splices during... Yeah, I read an article about it today. The splices during the movie are Brad Pitt, are pictures of Brad Pitt standing, like, behind people and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally didn't know that until today when I got home and I turned it on and it was on TV. And it was... I think it was the copy machine scene. Just one random scene, and I was like, what the fuck was that? And then I had to look it up. anyway.
Did you read an article or did you watch the movie? Your story
I started
falling
watching
apart.
The movie and then I had to look it up and
if,
then I read an
If
article
only you would listen to the
places.
Podcast that we yeah. recorded talking about.
I think
this.
I was. Wasn't I here?
When no. I know very clearly you were not. Hmm. Anyway. I clearly recollect the events of that podcast.
Anyway, there's a good article where they like they give all the Easter eggs and there's a shit ton of them.
This is a good aside.
Okay.
We should do this more often. Ben Affleck's sister is on my top 10 list. She's in Leftovers.
Oh.
Yeah, and she was on Deadwood.
Yeah. In Deadwood, she was the main, the chick that Timothy Olyphant was in love with.
No, was banging.
In love with.
Banging.
And then.
What's the difference?
Depends.
If you can't call a warm, wet hole home, what can you call? This is why you're not allowed to come out here.
Why?
You ruined
it with
your terrible
assignments. I tell you, I liked Tyler Perry in this movie.
Stop it with your Tyler Perry.
Well, it's I've heard other people say. Yeah. I've heard other people say that apparently he ruined it for them.
No,
but I'm guessing that has something to do with the character in the book, because I thought he was great in that.
Yes,
role.
That's what
I mean. It's kind of interesting. It's a small role, but I thought he was good in that role.
Well, it's interesting thing. To see him with not playing a comic role.
Has anyone here read the book besides Julie, who's not here?
No, it's next on my list after Firefight.
Yeah, I'm gonna read it. I need to read it. Gone Girl and Interstellar are on my top 10 movies of
what?
All time. Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you?
Which one do you have a problem with?
Neither, but you can't replace two movies in your top 10 in a single 3 months period. That's
they
crazy
that
talk.
Good. First of all, Gone Girl is like the biography of our life. It was like
That's
made
false.
For us. You tweeted it like an hour after the movie.
No. I don't tweet after I see a movie like someone who can't wait till the credits stop.
And then Interstellar, obvious. Doesn't even need to be explained.
Well, one interesting thing here I read in kind of the Michael trivia Caine. Was Reese Witherspoon was the one who bought the film rights and was trying to produce this. And Ooh. She eventually turned recused herself from the starring role.
Thank God.
Thank God.
And just and actually picked it up.
I would have never seen that movie.
Well, she's got the producer credit along with some other people, but it's interesting that again that she recognized this wasn't the role for her and stepped back and pulled in the other actress.
I could not have seen her in any role in this movie.
Well, that's what she thought None. Too. She originally had this idea that she was going to produce this film
Ben
for
Affleck was banging
under her own. Well, she's yeah, in her own that. Production company with her
Reese
in a starring role.
Yeah, she's too old for that.
I can still see it.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you need this. Not just anybody could play. Anybody could play Ben Affleck's role. Like any male Hollywood star could have played his role. But you need a very
no.
specific chick.
No, not any male. No, you need somebody. You need somebody that has a good look about him. You need a. The, you need a.
Yeah, every a, male Hollywood.
No.
You need a decent looking dude.
A good looking dude
who plays lazy and stupid very well.
Well, he's
because
not.
Ben Affleck lives lazy
any
and stupid.
No. You can't play lazy and stupid well.
What?
Yeah, you need someone who's lazy.
It's hard. It's called acting.
You need somebody that's good to do it. Yes, otherwise, it's sloppy.
Name someone who couldn't have done it, like a leading
George
man.
Clooney.
He could have done it.
No. Clooney could not have done it. Mm-mm. Clooney could not have done this movie.
So like
not
the guy said, you can't you can't go full retard.
Rosamund Pike outshines every role, every aspect of the movie just with her performance. Like, it literally, right. Nothing else matters.
Pull it back from the clock.
Everything else is replaceable in this movie.
I disagree. I think
Maybe
she could
not
have been
Neil
replaced. I think she could have been replaced.
You need Neil Patrick
with who?
Let's see.
That's a good question. I can't see anybody else doing it. Because you need a sharp-eyed woman mm-hmm. who's going to get doughy in the middle.
You know what? You know who I think I could see doing it if she would take this kind of role?
Amy Poehler.
Sandra Bullock.
No.
She doesn't play that kind of role. That's the problem. She doesn't do edgy. But I think it would have been – I think that would have been a great turn because no one would have expected the
whoa,
turn.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You feel like this was an edgy performance?
Yes.
Yes.
Very.
Really?
Yes.
Very.
What,
yep.
What about it is edgy?
Spoiler. We're going to spoil
that's,
the rest of this shit.
Fine.
Okay. I'm just saying because if you haven't
Not
seen
my
the movie,
problem.
If you haven't seen the movie, it's
Wait,
fucking ruins
define
it.
Define edgy. Mm-hmm. Define edgy. What do you mean?
No one knows what it means. We're all
it's
just
dark. It's
yeah. It's again the way she turns.
The person will go dark and do dark things.
Oh, someone you don't expect to be doing.
So it's a female in a role that's like not Miss Congeniality. I got you need, edgy. Okay.
You need somebody that's either mostly unknown.
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
You need somebody that's either mostly unknown or somebody that I couldn't see Reese Witherspoon playing this role.
No.
That's why if she pulled it off, it would have been fucking brilliant. Because you would have never seen it coming.
But she wouldn't have. I don't think Sandra Bullock would. Sandra Bullock is like the everyday happy girl next door.
But she's done some edgy stuff that's not really worked.
What?
Is it 28 Days?
I don't know what that is.
28 Days?
Yeah, it was like an alcohol rehab.
Personally,
movie.
I think Sandra Bullock is one of the most overrated actresses.
That
in
just
Hollywood.
Sounds like a drama, not like I'm not really understanding what you guys think is edgy about this. Like, is it because she's just doing things that a dude does in like every other movie?
No, just and because see, I don't expect her personality like to be
stuff
that twisted.
That a dude is it's psychotic. What she was doing was just fucking nuts.
Yeah, again, I don't
living out a lot of fantasies.
A cute. Setting up someone to make it look like they committed murder
happens all the time on television.
Yes, but the thing is, television doesn't do it as well.
I don't know what TV shows you're watching,
really
but
contrived.
I see a lot where they're females.
Like the plot of Gone Girl? No, that's why it's so...
Well, not the plot of Gone Girl, but I don't see any males doing this. The level of an elaborate plot... There really isn't any other stories doing that.
I've seen like the similar plots to this in probably three separate episodes of The Mentalist over its run. Probably in one episode of Burn Notice.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I think that happens. I just don't think that in a lot of stories you are led through the decision. Here's the problem. You can't write her off as being crazy.
No.
Like, because she talks you through exactly how she gets to the point where she's like, yeah, fuck this guy. Fuck this guy so hard. And then guess what? I did fuck this guy really hard. Like, she just takes you through it.
Except,
and the problem is that she does it calm and dispassionately. So you can't just write her off as being a raving lunatic because I kind of feel like she's not.
No, and I kind of feel like she was because her plan was that she was going to commit suicide. She was going to make sure that he made it to jail, then kill herself. That was her plan. That's not the plan of a sane person, in my mind.
Well, I
don't know.
She's not a raving lunatic. She's a textbook psychopath. I mean, that's the whole point.
Yes, and it's sort of revealed itself that in the end.
I think it reveals itself pretty close to the middle.
Well, I thought when we got to the point where...
When she's to the point of writing detailed diary descriptions of abuse that didn't happen... Mm-hmm. That's the point.
No,
that's the
very
line.
Thorough.
That's the line.
The abuse scene, like I thought at that point, oh, this
I realized
is why
that this
she...
is. I realized that at this point that this movie was not telling me the truth.
Right, right. Well, at the abuse scene, I thought, oh, well, okay. If Ben Affleck's an asshole and he abused her, then she set him up for all this, and you know, obviously, he deserves it. Where it got me, and I had no idea, was that was all fabricated, and we took the next step.
Oh, see, at the point when she's detailing the abuse, that's the point where it was like, I don't buy this story. The story doesn't make sense.
Okay.
And because I'm cynical, this is the point when I'm watching a television newscast and say, that person's lying, and Julie says, you're just being a cynical
asshole.
At
any point did you think Ben Affleck was like an abuser?
No,
and
I did not.
Were you on his side during the whole thing?
I wasn't on his side during the whole thing. I thought there was a point where it was like, it's obviously didn't have a perfect relationship, but I didn't see, because the character she was that they had shown me to that point, how strong she was and how stable her support system was outside of that town. She didn't seem like the kind of person that the first time he backhanded her or slammed her into a wall, she would have just been fucking gone. She just seemed like the kind of person that she would have just left.
It felt wrong to me because in the relationship, he had already checked out.
Yeah.
And physical abuse is not the actions of somebody who's checked out of a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, there was apathy. There's just too much apathy.
And I think that was part of it too. It's been a little longer since I've seen the movie.
Like,
but
it opens up when he goes to a bar and he's just like, I just don't want to go home.
Right.
those are not the actions of abusers
don't.
Abusers have her personality. Super A type, super thorough, perfectionist. Like that's.
And they don't just leave and are not aware where their significant other is.
Yeah.
They check in on them constantly. They constantly know where they're at.
Now, later, when I push Melina out of the car on the way home, that's because I've checked out of the relationship.
One thing in this story is that did bother me was that no one sat down and said, you know, all these, you know, when the detective was going through the diary there, no one said, you know, it seemed to think like, hey, she's a professional novelist. I mean, this is all very well fabricated. It's a little too well fabricated.
I think we saw that. I think they kind of brushed over it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in a clever way, but I'm pretty sure that the detective knew.
Yeah.
The detective was like, oh my God.
I have all these
totally fucking female, getting the female detective. She was just like, oh my God, this is the stupidest thing ever. Why in the fuck is this still happening?
Yeah. And all the men were like,
brilliant scene.
She's hurting. Be quiet.
That was so good. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you really this stupid?
That's why I'm saying, like, I was laughing through the whole movie.
It's perfect. No, I was laughing right there with you because that was hilarious. Good.
But the movie did bring up some interesting point about how the media sometimes jumps on a story.
Sometimes.
Always. Okay. And it screams, you know, the guilt or innocence out there just based on the flimsiest of evidence. And the television commentator who was supposed to be the Nancy Grace character, where she says, you know, she makes no apologies for it. He says, you know, yesterday you were ready to hang me. And, you know, today you get all the sympathy. She says, well, that's just ratings, you know. It's
was that Missy Pyle?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome. I needed to see this again before we talked about it.
Well, you could just stay awake through it the first time.
Please. I was so awake for it. This was like...
How many times did you cry through this movie?
I was laughing through the whole thing because it filled me with the merriment of a child. It was so amazing.
Like Arum?
Yes. It was like, I've thought about doing this to Adam's.
She spends her days writing. Like, you're gonna open a box somewhere and there's just going to be just tons of handwritten, detailed descriptions of a life that you're like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. The problem is Melina can never do that to me because she spends too much time online. So she just has tons of digital records.
There's a Tumblr blog that you don't know about that's just detailing all this.
I keep all of my calendars paper exactly like she did. With like she had like highlighted post-it notes and like I have that calendar.
It's funny that you waste a lot of time archive. Like that.
No.
Luddite.
What?
You're killing the environment single-handedly. You're the anti-Elon Musk.
What?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Well, anyway, the level of manipulation by the director of all our emotions and directions and everything is very well done. I mean, the twists and turns and then boom at the end, which I wasn't quite expecting. And then the fallout of the whole thing, I really didn't expect that to happen.
The very end, I expected to go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it went...
We'll just
one
say,
of
like,
them.
We're spoiler.
Oh, we already have. We already have. Yeah. Like,
what were the two ways you...
Okay, so... I figured the way it was going to set up, I couldn't imagine that he was going to stay with her, but it was like, I can't really see. There's either he stays with her or she dies. And the only way I could see her dying is I thought there was a moment where I thought the sister was going to kill her. There was that moment in the house where the sister was there and she was like, she going to kill her? She could kill her. That would have been awesome.
It would have been.
But then they stayed together.
That would have been
like,
too trite.
That's amazing.
This is the best. The ending it had was the best ending.
They deserved each other.
Yeah.
That was the great.
Yeah. It's very.
When Romeo dies, I will leave you.
That's a very uncomfortable feeling with me is, you know, how can you live with a person that you really can't trust that they're going to cut your throat in the middle of the freaking night.
Oh,
either way,
Daryl.
Either way,
13 years. It's been a trial.
Well, there's an old saying that you never sleep with anyone crazier than yourself, and this guy is violating that rule really badly.
Daryl, sometimes you don't know. The crazy is not always immediately apparent.
I think in this case, it's very apparent.
Nah, he didn't know that until several years later.
Because he again, he was a very lazy person in the relationship.
She's very hot.
Yeah, right, let's just get it on the table. Yes, almost too perfectly hot. But the thing is, though, this guy is this guy. The character is a very lazy character. I mean, he's got the best of all the worlds, but he's apathetic about it because he's wrapped up in his own little ego.
I kind of thought in the middle there that he was going to be banging his sister.
What?
No.
Are you the only one who's mind?
I got a little bit. I didn't. Until that high school chick showed up. Kind of got a little bit of brotherly love.
I actually really liked the relationship, the family, the brother-sister relationship. That was really good.
That chick's super hot, Tony.
When she went to Neil Patrick Harris, like, I immediately, as soon as he said something like, you look terrible, but we'll get you back into shape, here's some hair dye and makeup and, you know, weight loss pills or whatever he buys her, I was like, oh my god, she's gonna
that's
kill
exactly
him.
What
she's gonna
want.
Fucking kill him, and it's gonna be so good, I can't wait.
Well, yes, but this was also a character
of,
who
kind of deserved
I know.
He was just as fucked up as she was in his
well,
way.
Well, she has... The thing is, though, she screwed him up years ago.
Did she, or did he screw her up?
I think it was
no,
mutual. No, I see the pattern, because the next person she met, she whacked him pretty hard, too.
She was perfecting the art of...
The technique.
Of, yeah, exactly.
And the guy sat there and told her, he said, she manipulates you.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just so much.
Listen, and, I don't know any man who talks about his exes but doesn't say things like that. So, like, that
that's
whole...
That's
like,
the
what?
Whole thing.
Like,
idea.
Well, she's
this
crazy
is...
and manipulative.
Oh, yeah. Well,
like,
yeah, that's...
So, like,
that's
the whole
true.
Scene in the
but
bar...
But here was a
like,
pattern.
That's true.
That may or may not have actually happened.
Right.
Like, yes, but the thing is, though...
That could have just been all bullshit.
That's just it. But the thing was, we see the pattern of it happening with two other people.
Well, I mean, just because one dude says it and we've seen it with one guy doesn't
mean... Well, the thing is, he went to the second guy and he turned him away. So
no, but that's typical, like, psychopathic behavior. Like, I read a lot of true crime, and serial killers will perfect their method. So you'll get... Even, like, with Jack the Ripper, the first one will be messy and kind of didn't work out exactly right. And then you get to, like...
Are you telling me you've been perfecting your mass murder craft?
No, I've been perfecting how I'm going to take you down eventually.
Have you been perfecting how you're going to collect more
like
cats?
Like Tony said, you're going to like find the box in the attic at some point.
So she's going to hide it in the basement now.
Under the cat
It's
box.
In the spider closet.
I will love that.
Love
place.
You.
It's surrounded by hornet's nests.
The point where...
Hornets.
So the point where she's eating.
Oh my god,
she's
oh,
the one.
We haven't. Oh,
she's
comes,
the one that's.
We haven't been out
nets.
Here since yes. We went to Six Flags,
here comes
Tony.
A side note,
have I told
side
you the story?
Story?
I don't think
okay,
so.
Let's hear the side
so
story.
We go to. I haven't told you.
I've heard. I've heard. I think I've heard bits of this, but
Tony, I'm gonna tell. I'm gonna tell it.
Go ahead,
Tony.
You're
I'm
going to. You always
it's
do.
All I always do.
It's all right.
So we go to Six Flags, and it was an uncomfortably warm October 31st.
Yes, it
we
was.
Didn't, it was not on Halloween, but continue.
It was close. It was October something. Oh, no, I've been here since then. I told the Hornet story. No, never mind.
Yeah. I thought I heard this.
Don't know why I thought Halloween was in November. All right, carry on.
Anyway, the point...
She left me to die, Tony.
No, here's what happened. So, a hornet, like...
She's breeding hornets.
2 inches long. I've never seen a hornet this big. Lands on his shoulder.
She's mutating
Adam's
them.
Looking,
breeding them big.
Adam's looking towards the sky screamer, and I'm just looking at it.
I was living a sky screamer!
No, and I said, okay, Adam, just don't freak out. Just stay That's calm. And then I took my cell phone, because I'm not touching that thing, and I whack it, and it holds on to him, and I literally see it, like, its body going this way, but it's clinging to him. And then, like, slow motion, he's like, no, and grabs it with his hands and flings it to the ground. Like, and you could hear it hit the ground. He
so here's what
it
actually
so hard.
Happened. She tells me, don't freak out.
And you know that that's
she's holding a soda bottle. It's not her phone. She
I know. I had the
Gatorade,
refillable
the Powerball,
Powerade
yeah.
in one, and I had my phone in the other.
I know, but she used
like...
the Powerade thing. So she lightly brushes it with the Powerade thing. And the, like, so the hornet does not move off of me.
It
like,
was, like,
the only
to
thing
you.
She succeeded in doing is enraging it.
Pissing it off. They're easy to piss off, too.
Yeah, and it's got its bloodlust up, and now it's charging towards my face.
It did.
And so, in the supreme act of bravery, she takes two steps back away from me. So I'm forced to grab it with my bare hand and smite it upon the earth.
When it started crawling towards your face, I figured it was just over, so I better back up and just let the end go.
She's gonna drag you out to Six Flags one day, and she's gonna be like, look, there's an eagle. And it's going to swoop down. It's going to be a fucking 3-foot-long wasp. And just impale you like Wash. And
yeah, just carry me away.
I feel like this has already been a sci-fi original movie.
Probably has.
Attack of the Giant Wasp.
But this is, when we go on planes and someone's freaking out, I want you to remember this moment where I conquered my fear of the hornet and took care of business and got on with my life.
I know.
No. Yeah.
He probably peed himself a little bit. Don't fool yourself.
I peed on the skyscraper.
I think Adam and I literally both just... So we're standing in line, and to everybody else, I screamed at the point where he grabbed it, and Adam's like, "Rah!" And so everybody in line just hears, "Rah!" all at once.
And they're thinking it's part of the roller coaster or something.
Well, no, it is Fright Fest.
Yeah, it was truly the Fright Fest.
It was the Fright Fest. Yeah.
You got your money's worth.
Did not pay.
He peed himself, well. So that's a...
Yeah. It was really hot. It was awful. Mm. It was fun, though. And we got this.
It was awful. It was fun.
No, the heat was awful. I mean, for October, you want it like a nice, chilly Fright Fest. It's sweaty.
Sweat Fest.
I was going to say, the part that I had even more glee was where she's eating the pudding with Neil Patrick Harris. Mm-hmm. And the part where Ben Affleck finally starts to... decides he's going to start engaging in manipulation and tell her on the Nancy Grace show that, you know, he whatever he said, because he knew it would, like, trigger her. And she's, like, eating the pudding, and she just stops, and she's like, hold on. And then she, I don't know, it reminded me of Us, and I felt endeared.
I don't like
because that is
you.
Exactly what you would do.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but I do this constantly, independent of your attempts to murder me.
I'm not attempting to...
Tony, she threw away my mayonnaise because Miracle Whip goes bad.
It does.
It doesn't.
It does. It takes a long time.
Yeah, long time.
With the events that recently occurred in the upstairs of our condo, I don't want to clean up any more human fluids anytime soon.
My bathroom is usually immaculate.
Well, it is again, thanks to a whole lot
of bleach.
It
will remain so until the next time you try and clean it, and then Kane vomits all over the place. I have a very tidy bathroom, because I don't let anybody else in it. Tony, do you remember what it's like to have your own bathroom?
No.
I pity her.
Adam's bathroom stays cleaner than mine, and I don't know how that
happens. I pity the fool.
I take that back. For a while, I did have my own bathroom, but we still showered in the same. We still showered in the same shower.
That's not having your own bathroom then, Tony. No.
I had it for all my grooming.
What else about Gone Girl?
When I worked fast food, the men's bathroom was always cleaner than the women's.
Yeah, women are gross.
Women, oh, it was so disgusting.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Secretions.
What? I think my bathroom gets just grimy because I've got 4 litter boxes in it. I don't think
that'll
me.
Do it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I think you're just disgusting.
Anyway.
I've done the math enough to know the danger you're second-guessing about this cat gross situation. Tony, I'm going to go to Florida next week.
I know.
My training's
something. So you're not going to be here next week?
No. I will be
I've
on
I've done
my,
that math already,
what's the,
by the way.
I will be in my
we haven't figured out yet.
Beachfront villa.
I saw that.
That is so ridiculous.
Treasure Bay.
Gonna go out to dinner with Lana?
I will.
Nice.
They were like, do you need a cash advance? You already paid for the hotel and... the flight, like, you mean for the 3 meals I'll eat, like, 3 dinners I'll eat while I'm there? The other guy who's going with me is like, yeah, I'll take it, and they get $1,000. What? Why do you have so much money?
Wow.
Like, I'm just going to expense it. I mean, they're going to give me the $100 or whatever it is.
I hate expensing stuff.
So do I.
I have a corporate credit.
But I like getting a check out of nowhere later. Even if it's for money I just spent. Yeah. It's a double bonus.
That's the way I look at the way we get our dependent care money, because you can set aside so much pre-tax and then just ask for the money back later. It's like, up until this year, things got better the last couple of years, but it was like, all right, it's time for Christmas shopping. It's time to reimburse all our dependent care money.
Oh, tax refund time's coming up soon.
Mm, that means I have to pay.
I don't expect you're getting a refund this year.
Why?
Because I don't like you.
But you finagle it every year, so we do.
I'm very good at what I do. If it's a spreadsheet, I can
dominate it.
I haven't really made as many charitable donations this year.
No, you have not.
To ghost hunting.
That's usually not our
standard. That's charitable?
They always choose, like the last one, Zach Bagans chose the Nevada ASPCA or whatever.
Gotcha.
Or Shriners Children's Hospital or something.
Now you're Tyler Perry-ing this podcast.
What?
I don't know.
I want to read the book. So tell me what Julie's problem with the book.
Oh, yeah. So what I thought her problem was, because her folks were divorced, and she tends to like immediately shut down from shows or movies about cheaters. Like if it glorifies cheating in some way, it's like, no, it's something she's not interested in. But she reads romance novels a lot. So it's not always a big problem for her. So I kind of thought that that's what the problem was, not knowing about the movie, you know, because I knew it was about a guy who's accused of his wife and she's murdering his wife. She's missing, but maybe he's involved in it. Maybe he cheated on her. So my assumption was always that it had something to do with the storyline.
Okay.
The ending is what she absolutely doesn't like. She doesn't like ambiguous endings, and she didn't like the fact that I think she didn't like the ambiguous nature of the ending because there was no real clear resolution to the ending. And because the wife got away with it, she wanted that bitch to die.
What?
Oh, no. I wanted her to get away with it.
No, I wanted her to die, too.
Oh, the entire movie.
But I think it was mostly the ambiguity. The ambiguity of the ending.
I didn't think the ending was ambiguous. I thought, like,
there's no resolution.
To me, it is. I thought they stay together and they deserve each other and, you know, the end. Happily, unhappily ever after.
And she didn't like that.
As
she wanted something. She wanted something a little more concrete.
Desperately.
Yeah, but the thing is, that ending bothered me too. I mean, here are two people who basically don't like each other. He's staying again because he feels responsibility to his unborn child. I mean,
that was the part that I hated the most, was that they were having a child
again because they had
that was the part, because like I felt really bad for that fucking kid.
Well, that's
at least it'll be a genius. I mean,
no, that kid's gonna be a tool of manipulation only. Will only be a tool of manipulation.
All children are tools of manipulation.
Well, yeah. Well, again, they had become that couple, which is what they were desperately trying not to be.
They were already that couple.
Yes, but now they're that couple. He's staying in the marriage because he wants the kid to have a family.
I'm pretty sure he's staying in the marriage because he doesn't want the public opinion of him.
No, he said when he was talking to his sister, he didn't think he could get custody of the child.
So he
was going to stay together just for the sake of the kid because he said, I'm going to take the responsibility for it.
No, I think he was staying there because he's terrified of what she's going to do with that kid.
Well, that's
I think that's it more than anything.
Or she's terrified of what she's going to do for you.
Well, yeah.
What's next?
I'm going to keep her close so I can keep an eye on her.
Well,
is really the...
Keep your enemies close. Keep your friends close and keep your enemies even closer.
I would watch a sequel that is... just nothing of the.
But this season, again, is going to be a marriage from. It's going to be a relationship from hell. I mean, I don't think either of them are going to stand each other for the 20 years of raising this kid.
It was kind of already that, so I feel like nothing has changed.
I have a feeling the only way a sequel to this movie works, it's a black comedy of kind of like Death Becomes Her, where they're just trying to kill each other. Creative ways trying to kill each other.
That's why I think that their marriage is better now, because now, like, the sequel is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, where they fall in love via manipulation.
Now at least everything's on the table.
And now they have a chance to actually fall in love with who the other person
is. Well, again, when you think about the opening monologue, he said you'd wonder what's inside her mind.
Yeah, unraveling her brain.
And what's she really thinking. And the last shot on the outro is her looking up to him with those loving eyes again.
Yeah.
And he kind of says, is this after or a continuation of before?
Oh, I definitely thought it was after.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, was this foreshadowing or is this now saying at the conclusion is there... living happily on ever. I didn't like.
Well, that's
really
why,
what is she thinking? I mean, how is he going to be a good husband if he's always thinking, like, what's on her mind now? It's going to be, like, living on this constant edge of tension.
Why do we have almonds in everything?
I was fairly certain that that monologue in the beginning mm-hmm. is meant to make you think, oh, he just doesn't understand her. And then at the end...
Or he's evil and crazy.
I thought it was more of a romantic thought, you know, like, what's on her mind?
I know. He says, what's on her mind? I just love to crack open her skull and pull her brain out.
I said, oh, Ben Affleck's the psychopath. And then when the very first abuse scene they show, I'm like, oh, yeah, Ben Affleck's definitely the psychopath. And, like, the next one...
Yeah, because you had some preconceptions going into this.
Well, clearly. No, I had zero, and I...
You took some baggage with you,
I had zero, and I let this movie lead me. Without trying to figure anything out, I just let it take me exactly
It takes you down that path. Yeah. It does take you down the path that he's the abuser.
It wants you to think...
If you don't at least feel like, this seems out of place for this character I've spent an hour and 15 minutes with...
Which part? What seems out of place?
The abuse? Physical abuse seems super out of place for the character.
It didn't to me, because I thought, now it all makes sense.
As soon as that scene ended, I'm like, this seems weird
that
for this dude.
That thing he said at the beginning was like total like Bateman or in American Psycho. I'm like, oh, it all makes sense now. He's like the American Psycho guy.
Yeah, the other problem
I had with him being the abuser is his size in general is he would have abused her. I mean, hurt her badly.
He's big.
He's not a small guy. Just in general, he's not.
I didn't notice their ratio.
He's gonna be Batman.
Oh, don't remind me.
Oh, he's gonna be great as Batman. He's already played Superman.
Several of my attorney friends said that their biggest complaint, like ruination of the movie.
Oh, I guess was the law.
No, was the defense Tyler attorney. Perry. And I wish Julie should have been on this podcast with us, because I want to know, like, what the book, why, what is
if
so different.
If only there was a way we could get the information out of the book.
I know, but for right now, for right this second.
I'm sure there are things on the internet that would tell us if we really
want to
know.
We don't want to read it,
I'm
going to read it, Melina. And when I say I'm going to read it, I'll actually read it.
The only thing that bothered me is when they kept showing them traveling from wherever they were in the Ozarks, wherever, to St. Louis. They kept showing them go across the new Stan Musial Bridge, which is in fucking Illinois. It's going over into Illinois. Why the fuck are you going to Illinois when you're saying you're going to St. Louis? Unless he lives in fucking Glen Carbon, because really that's the only place you're going to see a house like that on the Illinois side. No! God damn it. Why are you stop going across that bridge?
I forgot about that.
That bugged me because it was like...
Yeah. I hate when things are set here because then you're like, oh, that's wrong.
Right.
I didn't even notice. I was so like...
But it's also brand new. So it was like they could easily make a point because odds are they probably filmed those scenes when it was still shut down.
Yeah.
I would imagine they probably... That would have been the way I would have done it.
That's Wizards Chess.
That's throwing some cash at something.
Finish that bridge.
I wonder what proportion, because everybody on Facebook was like, I wanted her to get caught. I wanted her to die. And me and Adam are the only ones I know that were rooting for her, like, through the whole thing. Like, I love the ending. I think it was perfect.
She was hot.
I wanted her to win. Like, I thought he deserved it.
What did he do to deserve her treatment of him? Being accused of murder and put in prison for murder. And then she was going to kill herself so that the body could be found, so that it solidified everything.
He made her unhappy. I don't know. I mean, I felt like
the punishment didn't fit.
I feel like
he was an asshole.
He was an asshole. And I feel like in movies...
He didn't steal all her money.
I feel like in movies, like, men...
Huh? He stole all her money.
No, he didn't.
He
cheated on her, but... And he was big man enough to admit it.
Her family stole her money.
But everybody stole her.
He married
her.
He
spent through a significant portion of her
life. Yeah. But no, I feel like in like crime dramas all the time, the situation is reversed and like.
That's projection.
No, it's not.
The same way you think that
it really
Days
is.
Of Future Past was about the only reason Peter Dinklage was doing whatever he was doing, it was so that he could fix himself. That was also a projection.
What?
Yeah.
It was weird.
Like you're like, he hates mutants because like it was a thing. If you go listen to the episode, I actually talk about how you brought up a point that was nowhere in the movie, but I think it was just your projection.
They obviously chose Peter Dinklage in that role
Because he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And because, like, he hates mutants. They even say it. There's even a line.
No,
yes, there
isn't.
There is. Alpha, you know what? I'll find it.
Find it.
I will.
You said this before, and I was like, that didn't exist, and I'm very certain this was just your projection.
No, it's not. I mean,
you get the movie over there.
What, Tony?
Holden got it for Christmas.
I'm Wolverine.
Like, it's the Napoleon complex.
Yeah, see, that's what
but
I think is the problem.
But he wasn't short.
Yeah.
Who wasn't short?
Napoleon.
He was like normal size.
I don't care. I'm just saying.
Also, I feel like Peter Dinklage was kind of justified, given that Magneto picks up a whole stadium and then drops it on the White House lawn.
He can't be ex post facto justified because he didn't know that at the time of the bill. But anyway,
she lawyered your ass.
But she didn't, because at the time, the Pentagon already had Quicksilver locked up underneath. Or Magneto locked up underneath the Pentagon. At the time of the movie where Peter Dinklage is doing all this, Magneto is locked up under the Pentagon because the events of X-Men First Class have already taken place.
Right.
Where they've almost started a nuclear war between, obviously,
the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah. What?
That wasn't lifting the arena up. That's
I know, but the Bay of Pigs thing had already happened.
Right, but you just used a specific example, which was incorrect.
Okay, all right. Let's get rid of that one.
Okay.
Back it up to Magneto almost starting World War
All right.
One, two.
You guys can finish cosplaying the movie we're talking about anytime.
I'm living it.
I think we need more movies like this where, like, with role reversal. I think this movie would be so not as edgy.
I don't think this is role reversal.
I don't think this movie was edgy.
But that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't have been called edgy by people if it was a man in that role. Like, American Psycho now wouldn't be considered edgy.
Yes, it would.
It was back then.
It still would.
I don't think so.
I don't think it was.
You're talking about somebody who's killing people for fun. That's edgy.
That's not edgy.
That is edgy.
That's too common now.
So we have now... It is. It really is. It really, Dexter. I mean, come on.
But that doesn't... Just because it makes it mainstream doesn't mean it's not edgy.
I think that's exactly
That's like saying... because
I think that's exactly what that means.
But that's like saying that incest is mainstream because of Game of Thrones.
First off, Game of Thrones, I would argue, is not mainstream. Second off, I don't think...
It's the highest...
incest is edgy. Like,
okay.
Edgy.
Game of Thrones had an audience of 19 million... last season. That makes it mainstream.
You want to compare that to football numbers, Tony?
You want to compare that to movie numbers?
Incest is becoming less edgy because of Game of Thrones. Like, before, it was like...
No, I think it's all still very edgy and very icky.
Before, it was like...
No, I'm going to argue with
before
you.
Before, it was
still,
like,
people are still creeped
incest,
out about it on
and now,
every turn.
People, like, make Lannister jokes all the time.
That doesn't mean they're not disturbed by it.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if there was a role reversal and there was a male playing the manipulative husband that did something to ruin his wife,
I would not have bought it that a man would have went to this level to do it.
He would have just killed her, because that's what men do. They don't, like, plan these usually don't plan, like, manipulative schemes like this. That's why it's so
I'm going to leave you in the cold. You will slowly
men who don't
want
to be married anymore just kill their wives. They don't, like, plan how to meticulously ruin their lives and then kill themselves as, like, the final climax. It's just beautiful. It's like poetry.
People who are sane don't do that.
She's clearly a psychopath, but she's also brilliant. And
I'm not saying she's not brilliant. She's very good at what she did. She's very good at it. I mean, it took a ton of planning. It took a lot of creativity to write all of that, to get the timing down, to endear the friend that he didn't even know existed.
That was
really great. He's like, I don't know who this woman
I
is.
Was laughing
I'm her best friend. That was the other thing.
I know.
That was the other thing that tipped me off. That was like, there's something weird about these stories, because how is this? Who is this person? What is going on here?
That's... Step two: befriend idiot neighbor.
Yeah, that was good.
Steal pregnant idiot neighbor's pee.
Do a terrible job cleaning up the blood, like husband would.
obvious staged murder site.
So good. I don't know. I do, but I do want to know. I want to find out about the attorney. Like, what made it so egregious that, you know,
here's what's gonna
ruin
happen.
The movie for some
You're
going
to buy the paper book, even though I hate when you buy paper books.
I don't like reading on...
You're going to put it on the nightstand, mm-hmm. where it will sit forever, unread.
That's not true. I recently cleared off our little island of lonely books.
Not read the stack of books there.
I did. I read
Mount TBR.
I finished.
I moved my shame off.
I finished Paradise Lost and returned it to its owner.
When did you read that?
I finished it during Kane and Jason's visit in some during some downtime.
I was there most of the time. I never saw you reading.
I was reading in the bedroom.
That's false.
I don't know. There was a lot of time during that visit.
You just lost paradise with all your lies.
There was a lot of time during that visit when everybody was just sitting around and either Kane or Jason was upstairs sick at some point. There's a whole lot of sitting around. So I returned that. I reshelved Game of Thrones because I'm just not going to read that.
I'm listening to that.
It's too much of a commitment.
It is
40 hours a book.
I'm in the third one.
Katie's like on the last one. And apparently she has like a lot of time at work to read. And I'm like, how are you so far?
Well, the first step is the first page.
Yeah, I know. I can't read at work anymore. I mean, I can't read.
You're only at work for 40 hours a week. There are a lot of other hours.
I can't read recreational books at work anymore. And when I get home, I don't want to read. I want to watch TV or just sit in the dark and not think.
This is why I'm going to murder you. Why I'm going to systemically destroy your life. But I'm going to take Romeo first. Tony, it's almost pretty bad that I'm going out of town next week, and I'm actually concerned for Romeo. Like, he's not going to get the best care that I'm not there. Like, I think you're going to kill that animal before I get back.
It'll be fine.
Like, that is a serious concern I have.
Please.
Like, I haven't won a very...
So why aren't you kenneling him while you're gone?
No.
Oh.
What?
Mm-mm. I couldn't kennel him.
You can't kennel him. He has to have 4 medications a day at very specific times.
Yeah. I got him on a schedule, Tony. Yeah. 7, 8, 5:36-ish.
That's specific.
If he has even like the slightest change in his routine, he stops eating and almost dies. So like as soon as he stops eating, his liver starts failing. So he is
very
having a very high maintenance like child with leukemia or something. I mean, it's like he'll be fine. If he didn't die when your mom like gave him triple dose of mirtazapine at Gen Con during Gen Con, he'll be fine with me.
Without me there, she won't wake up till like noon every day.
I know that work. It's gonna be fine.
It is during the work week.
Oh, I know.
I'll just set my alarm.
I'm convinced the only reason she gets up is because I move around the house. Anyway,
you're boring Daryl with your stories.
Let's pick next week's movie here. I would vote for Unbroken.
No,
I'm not seeing that movie.
What's Unbroken?
It looks so bad.
I refuse.
What is it?
It's Angelina Jolie's.
It's a war movie.
I'm not really interested.
I know who it is now. The guy that
the Olympic war hero. Let's cram as many things into.
Though I am
interested. Then may I suggest The Imitation Game?
What is that?
It is essentially.
I'll be honest. I'm not going to be able to get to. I'm not going to be able to get to the theater. Between now and then. Okay. That's not going to happen.
Something on. Why don't you guys do Alan?
It's an Alan Turing biography.
That one.
Why don't you guys do Grand Budapest? Because that's on HBO.
Okay, Grand Hotel Budapest. Okay, it's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix? Or
I believe so.
I know it's on HBO.
That's right. Yeah,
if not, I can find it on iTunes.
Do you want to save it for one of the days that you're...
Or we can just plan on not recording next week and just do it the week after.
Mm-hmm. Off schedule, Tony?
Yeah, because like missing the last 3 months hasn't done anything for us.
Back on the saddle.
Thank God for Art and Jeff, so there's content on the website still.
If I watch it this weekend, I'll let you know and if it's good.
You have a week and a half.
Yeah.
You have 2 weeks at this point.
All right, good.
If it's on HBO Go, you can watch it while you're in Florida.
So just tell me in like a nutshell what two sentences, what Jolie, why she hated Interstellar or why she didn't
this
like it.
This is how she gets out of listening to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple things. Mostly she thought that there was like a feminist conspiracy against it. Like I misspeak. That's a little harsh.
Let's pull that back.
It was she thought that the story she wanted to see shouldn't have been the story of the man doing this stuff, Matthew McConaughey. It should have been the story of the daughter doing the work after he got her the information.
Oh.
That strong female character doing those things I think that for her that would have made a better movie. At least that was what we kind of argued about.
Well,
my argument was that would have been really boring.
That someone watching sitting at a chalkboard doing equations.
that was kind of my argument. It was like, I think that'd be kind of a boring movie.
And with that actress, you can't get McConaughey.
Yeah. Math, the movie, does not appeal to me.
McConaughey.
Stop. Does not appeal
to
me.
He's going to Matthew to your McConaughey.
For such a great movie, that's such a weird complaint.
And she was bored by it. She didn't like it. She just didn't like it.
This movie felt triumphant to me.
Yeah. You can literally listen to about the first 10 or 15 minutes of the episode.
God damn it, Tony. The only evil that's out here is what we bring with us. And God damn it, if Matt Damon didn't bring evil.
That was so... When he showed up, it was like... Oh shit!
Cowardice.
Oh shit!
Weakness.
So
Jason Bourne's gonna fuck some shit up.
The score of that movie. So Adam loves Dr. Manhattan's theme in Watchmen, which is Philip Glass. The composer is Philip Glass.
Melina actually loves this. I don't know why.
You do. Okay.
This thing about me loving it.
You,
like, she says it all the time. And I'm like, I don't know.
Go back and listen to the episode where you're like, that whole sequence with the organ music.
No.
Yes.
That's not.
Yes.
All right, fine.
Okay.
I was talking about his taint.
Okay. So the first thing I said after seeing Interstellar was, the reason you like this movie so much is because it was scored by Philip Glass. I was convinced during the whole movie because it's so heavy on organ music. Almost
tons of phallic objects.
Almost every piece of music is very organ heavy. And then it was Hans Zimmer. And I was like, that's impossible.
Black
and
hole.
Then I found out that Hans Zimmer was like creating it as a tribute to Philip Glass, or like modeled after one of his pieces. So then it all made sense.
When you posted this as a hangout, I did not care then, and I care less
it's
now.
It's so amazing. Like, so
the repeat of this information is worse than the original information.
What's the director's name again? He did Dark Knight.
Nolan
handed Zimmerman an envelope, and in the envelope was like one sentence written on it, or two sentences, with what he felt was the core of Interstellar, the heart of the movie, and said, compose something based on this. And he composed it, and then he listened to it, and he was like, that is perfect. So awesome. How can you be so into music now and not care about this story?
How can you miss the central tenet of this plot?
What?
This music bullshit.
What?
The first planet they go to, nature tries to kill them. The second planet they go to, man tries to kill them. The ultimate resolution of the movie is that man beats himself. But you're focused on this one music tribute?
Yeah, I think the score is going to win.
God damn it!
There's so many things that are good about the movie. I think the score is going to be the best score, though. I think if you watched the movie with a different score, it would not have been the same movie.
That poor black guy. They left him up there for 20 years.
The score was serviceable. It didn't do anything for me.
Really?
Nothing. Not a thing.
Wow. I think like there were points of it where I was watching it and I thought, you know, if it didn't have this like insane organ music going in the background right now, this would be a really boring movie.
Mm, yes.
To me, for the most part, scores do the same thing that laugh tracks do in comedy.
No, Tony.
They try to
influence me into how I'm supposed to feel about a scene, whether I really feel it that way or not.
Yes, Tony.
Maybe they're doing something for you subconsciously.
But that's what music does. That's
what laugh tracks are supposed to do also.
Maybe,
yes, they do.
Maybe subconsciously your brain's hearing the music. Maybe your brain is like feeling the music.
And it's fine. For me,
the laugh track is a compensation.
But for me, a score is either serviceable or terrible. There's very seldom times that a score is memorable.
But Tony, the laugh track is peer pressure.
Yes.
They want
and so is the score.
No, it's not.
What?
Music is a method for communicating emotion. Mm-hmm. The laugh track is peer pressure to make you feel that something is funny when it's not.
There's an episode of Brain Games that shows how a score can completely change a movie, and it shows a series of scenes of like a man walking out of his house and a woman jogging down the street and then a bird landing on a tree branch, and then they play this really happy music and it makes you feel like, oh, I'm watching like a movie about, you know, a morning and everybody's waking up and getting ready to go. And then they play like this sinister music and it's like, holy crap, it just changes.
So therefore the visual storytelling is terrible.
I feel like I could have watched the movie without the score.
The score The scores that are meaningful to me tend to be the ones that are more bombastic and the ones that are more epic and heroic. Those are the ones.
That describes Interstellar. Holy crap!
But there was nothing about it that I remember. I could not. You could play the music from Interstellar right now, and I wouldn't remember it.
Really? There were points in the movie where I was like, "Wow, they're really they're pushing it with this music," because I thought
I was probably at that point, depending on when it was in the movie, I was probably still distracted.
3 hour movie.
It was a long movie.
Yeah. There were points where I'm like, is there going to be a medieval battle with knights? Because holy crap, this music is he's just piloting a ship and it's like, Oregon.
Yeah, classic music. What? For the age of exploration. Yeah. God damn, why you miss so much of this movie?
I'm not missing
focusing
it.
On this fucking score. Your goddamn one-page summary, Philip Glass.
Are you? You know what? I'm telling you, the score won best score of 2014. That was my
prediction.
I don't
care.
And yes, the movie.
I care about six categories.
What?
Six categories.
Yeah, score is the one I tend to care least about.
Really? Not best editing of a foreign documentary.
That's the sixth. Best movie, two best actresses, two best actors.
Seven, because I do care about both best writing.
Best director?
Best director.
Nope.
Yeah, best director. Best director can be interesting, but sometimes it's political.
It's usually not.
It's often political.
I care about best costumes.
I care about best dick.
Best score.
Best dick neck.
Best costume, best art direction. Without knowing what else would be nominated, I can imagine Grand Budapest is probably on the list for those, just from the bit of
costumes
list.
Will be Lord of the Rings. It's taking it every time.
Probably.
Seeing Gone Girl and Interstellar made Mockingjay and The Last Hobbit movie total non-events in my life.
And Mockingjay was good.
And it was
good. I haven't
good,
seen Mockingjay. I liked The Last Hobbit movie. It was a lot better than the other two.
Agreed.
It was a lot. It was a lot better than
best
the other
of
two.
Three.
It was a lot better than the other two. And it was, one thing that I liked is the choice that he made not to have Bilbo's getting knocked unconscious completely waste the fight.
Well,
because in the book,
he
gets knocked out, and then the fight, he wakes up and the fight's over.
Tony, I've suffered through 6 hours of The Hobbit. I better get a goddamn fight.
It was a fight.
A big fight.
It was a big fight.
Did you see in the beginning there were old men fighting? Elrond and Christopher Lee. It was the Battle of the...
That was actually silly. That was actually a really cool fight.
Battle of the Ancient Brigade.
Elrond kicking ass was actually pretty cool.
Christopher Lee kicking ass was the most ridiculous thing.
It was almost as ridiculous as him fighting in the prequels.
Ooh. Ian McKellen and Cate Blanchett are gonna do it, and they're gonna do it hard.
Yup.
Except probably not.
Wizard Viagra. He's going to use his wizard staff on her.
Cate Blanchett is a little too ladylike.
I hated that because I was like, they're just using, they just want to bring
in
as
2 hours to fill.
Yeah, we need to make people think it's Lord of the Rings and they're going to be so excited when they see Elrond and Galadriel and what the fuck is his name? Christopher Lee coming together.
Saruman.
Yeah, Saruman coming together and fighting and yay, it's like Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's bridging the gap. I liked it.
Yeah, another bridging the gap moment that I hated. Go find
that
him.
That was silly.
His name is Strider. Oh, fuck you.
That was silly.
Too much. Pull it
back. I did like their love story, though. I'm going to admit it. I liked it.
Wait, which love story?
The triangle.
Oh.
I did. I
liked
loved,
when his brother got knifed.
I liked it when Legolas was still helping her, even though he knew that she wasn't in love with him.
Felt nothing.
I loved it.
I felt like put Lee Pace back on the screen because this is wasting my time.
He's a waste of space.
He's Lee beautiful.
Pace?
What is wrong with you? Lee Pace is so good.
He was the worst part of Guardians.
That is the worst.
Did you
thing
not see
I've
the fall? Didn't we do the fall?
We did the fall.
Yeah.
He was great in that.
He's okay.
You're the false.
I don't care. I don't care about his acting.
He's as wooden as.
You're the golden calf.
What's his name? Denzel Washington.
He's typecast in those type of roles, though. I mean, he's placed in those type of roles. He wasn't.
What kind of roles? Wait.
Wooden. Ronan. What's his fuck?
Ronan
elf.
Should not have been that wooden.
I haven't read the comic. I don't know what Ronan's supposed to be like, but I thought
given a character that is supposed to be basically a destroyer, he was super wooden for that. He could have been so much more over the top.
That's what it was supposed to be like. I don't know.
He's always the same ridiculous guy, but I'm fine with it because he's always a dick.
I liked him in Pushing Daisies.
Was him?
Oh, I'm a daisy, fire flower.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, like 70% of the time.
I'm listening to my book again on the way home. I don't give a shit what you do.
I'll sleep.
But if you interrupt Mark Watney's Tales from Mars, I will destroy
I don't understand why he's got to drill so many holes.
Shh, Tony hasn't started.
All he's doing is drilling holes.
It's a sexual allegory.
I've listened to a total of 45 minutes of this book, and it has been drilling holes.
It sounds like porn.
She doesn't understand. Tony, Martian I've never cared porn. About potatoes more than I have.
That's kind of like me listening to
Blackness.
The Trader's Tales, and I've never cared more about coffee than listening to that.
Yeah, Tony.
Did you ever listen to those?
Nope, because I'm a smart guy.
Oh, you'd like those.
Actually, they're quite good.
They're really good.
How much semen flies around?
None.
No.
There's some.
Tony, don't lie to me.
No, there's some. Later on, there's some.
Don't lie to me. All right, I got to go. I got work in the morning. I got packed for a trip. One of my cats we call Blackness Everdeen.
No, we call Fatness Everdeen. But apparently we're calling Suna Blackness Everdeen from this point forth.
Yeah.
Two
Everdeens.
Did that just Everdeen slip sisters. Out? Or...
No, that's what I do on the
show. Oh, today they were talking about like different anniversaries on the radio, and the Fight Club was one of them, and the other one was the anniversary of what's his face saying so poor, so black.
Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Wolf Blitzer when he was talking about the Katrina victims.
Oh,
Katrina victims are so poor, so black.
I do remember that now.
What?
It's also the anniversary this year of George Bush Hates Black People. Whoever said that.
Kanye West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Mike Myers looking incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was all part of Katrina.
Yeah, must be a Katrina anniversary. Anymore? How about Reagan, the country's forgotten about us?
Fight Club.
Well, that's
we did that already. I can't remember.
Ooh, Birdman.
What's that?
Don't worry about it.
Michael Keaton.
I want to see that too.
What?
It's the one where he's like the washed up actor who used to play Batman.
Yeah, that's exactly. His life. Did you see, speaking of which, apparently they asked Christian Bale what it was like seeing pictures of Ben Affleck in the bat suit,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing you used to be Batman. He's like, you know, if I'm going to be honest. You know, I kind of had this moment of saying, you know, I'm the one that was Batman, but he looks good. It looks like he's going to do fine. He said, I sent him a note, and the one thing I told him was the most important thing is make sure when they design the costume that you have a way to get out of it yourself to go to the bathroom, because there's nothing worse than having people help you undress to take a piss. So, but all the headlines for that article was that Christian Bale's jealous of Ben Affleck, even though that's not at all what he said, but that was the headlines of it. So
of
then
course.
They ask, they go to Michael Keaton, like, so Christian Bale said he was jealous after, you know, seeing somebody else in the costume. So what do you think about seeing other people in the costume? He goes, I don't know, I'm not jealous because I'm pretty sure you all realize at this point I am Batman.
It would have been better if it was a video interview.
I know.
We're here with Michael Keaton. How do you feel about it? They just turned to him and he's still in the bat, like his original bat suit. I'm not threatened.
Not threatened at all.
George Clooney was never Batman.
Stretch.
No.
He was Batman.
No.
You have to deal with it.
It was those nipples. They negated his Batman.
You know what? I don't even blame Clooney for that. I blame Joel Schumacher.
Because he had nipples in the back.
Yeah. All right, we're gone.
Okay. See you next time.
Good night.